go, Wayne.
Bless you. God bless. Well, God bless. Great to be with you. I was here last year and told you I'd be back this year with my wife. Well, Fern's here. Fern, we want to stand up. There she is. She's a little bitty girl. It's hard to see sometimes. I block her view most of the time when she's around me. Fern with you? Yeah. Can't you see her? And I can't explain it in detail, but I certainly don't understand it all. But when you're deeply involved with relationships that's people, it's profound what an amazing effect it can have on you and on your ministry, on your service to God's people. And I know the effect she's had on me, and I can only pray that I've had a similar effect on her. But today I want to get into, couldn't decide what I wanted to teach, so I'm going to do three teachings. So I kept going and going. We got to be at dinner at 12:30, so you're going to get the revised clap version on all of them here. But I want to share about Kingdom Equipped, God is Pursuing Us, and Relationships. So please turn to 2 Corinthians 5. You know, everything God has given us equips us for service in His kingdom. The fruit of the Spirit, our sonship rights, manifestations of Holy Spirit, the whole armor of God, healing, health and healing, sound minds, grace. The list is really endless. However, the three I want to mention specifically this morning are the Word of God. You know, we're familiar with Hebrews 4:12. That the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The second one was manifestations of Holy Spirit. We have our favorite verse in 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And then the third one is the name of Jesus Christ. And that's in Philippians 3. Why don't you put 3:9 up? Three verses in a row. It was hard for me to memorize these three. But they were in our class this year that we did our messengers program on the names and titles of Jesus. But it says in Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. I'm sorry, we want 2:9. I didn't fix my notes. There we go. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, that's Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And those three things in particular equip us to serve God. We are equipped in the kingdom with His Word, with the manifestations, and with the name of Jesus Christ, so we can accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. Last time I had the privilege of teaching here, I talked about achieving the impossible. That with God we can see the invisible, feel the intangible, hear the inaudible, so that we can achieve the impossible. Because with God, nothing's impossible. When He sets stuff before us and we have the gumption to go for it, He just opens the windows of heaven. And there are no limits to what we can do. And to think how I used to put a cap on him, fit him into my box, said this is the way he works, and this is the only way he works. And of course he doesn't do anything else. That's too weird for God. Until you read the Word, and then you say, well, that really is weird. The walls of Jericho falling down, the sea parting, all the incredible things that he does. And he usually, although he can do anything he wants at any time he wants, for any reason he wants, he usually involves his people with it. He usually wants them involved. He usually asks them to do something, to say something, to hold their hand up. Here they're having a battle. Moses has to hold his hands up to win. So I was thinking when we were talking about our praise songs where, you know, we can't get, our arms get tired. Well, Moses' arms get tired, so they held him up for him. So isn't that kind of crazy? I mean, isn't that sort of outside of the box? But what would he did if he didn't have those folks to help him? Yeah, they would have won. Just like, who's the king in the Old Testament in 2 Kings 3? Or Naaman is the guy I'm thinking of. Here he's got leprosy. He's a mighty man of valor. He's, you know, the general of the armies. And it took a whole slew of people to get him his deliverance. First, it took the little slave girl. She had to say to her, you know, she was the queen's servant. She had to tell her that, you know, would my Lord were with the prophet in Israel, he would heal him. Then she had to tell, and gets word to the king. The king sends the king of Israel. They go through all these people. Then he finally gets there to get the word that he needs to get healed, and he gets the word, and then he ain't going to do it. He's offended. Ain't no way I'm going to dip in this old dirty old river. And then his own servant has to say, Lord, if he'd have told you to take the 7 voyages of Sinbad and kill the Cyclops and, you know, do all this stuff, he'd have done it. How much more just dip in the river? And he does, and he gets it. That's our God. When we get crazy thoughts like that, it's worth it to follow through. Because that's the kind of stuff God's into. The stuff that's sort of out there. So that we know we're not doing this on our own. That he has to be involved to bring it to pass, but he wants that for us. He wants to be with us. So the Word of God manifestations in the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians tells us that we're new creations, that old things have passed away. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. We'll get to that verse here in a minute. When Christ died, we died with him. But we have to reckon the old man dead and ourselves alive unto God. When we do, we can serve in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do we feel new? Do we act new? Have all things become new for us? But what a paradigm shift. What a change in life. I'm not the same. You're not the same. When God went to work in us, he changed us. He had to bring into existence something that never existed before. It says in Ephesians 2:10, that we were created in Christ Jesus. He created Holy Spirit. That Spirit didn't exist until we decided to accept Christ's sacrifice, and then God says, okay, I'm going to make you new, different. And he put spirit in us, and we are not the same. I am not the person I used to be. I don't have those weaknesses. Well, I still do, but I'm very good at hiding them. No, we don't have to. Amen. What I have to do is reckon them dead, because that ain't me. Amen. That is not me anymore. I've been created in Christ Jesus. I have Holy Spirit, and I'm a man after God's own heart like all of you are. And when we are like that, and when we make that determination, and when we accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and that we will be like him, For we will see him as he is. He's our, Hebrews says, forerunner. He went on before. He got the new body first. He's at God's right hand now. Ephesians says we're seated there with him. But we're going to be like him. Man, when I think about that, it blows my mind. What did he do? I'm getting ahead of myself here. But how unfortunate that some believers are never free from their past. They never escape the corruption that's in the world. 2 Peter 1:4 talks about that. If we get it up here, I'll read it to you. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And where do you find them? Right here in the Word. Like the promise of health and prosperity. It's right here in the Word. So how do you know? Sometimes it takes a little revelation. Should I do this deal? Should I buy this house? Is this a good car? Do I want to make this investment? Okay, I've got health. What do I need to do to maintain it? Debbie knew what she had to do. She went to the doctor. They put a stent in, and she's got her health now. Sometimes it takes a little revelation on the specifics of what the Word says so that we can get the promise of God. He wants health. Okay, so what's it take for me to get that? A little bit of revelation would be nice. God's more than willing to give it to us. And sometimes when we get the revelation, then what do we need? We need to use the name of Jesus Christ and the authority that God's given us so that we can bring that promise to pass. Because everything bows. Everything that has a name bows to the name of Jesus Christ. There's no disease, there's no sickness, there's no syndrome, there's no phobia, there's nothing that does not bow to the name of Jesus. And when we use that name that God has given us the privilege, the right to use, that Jesus himself said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, like Kevin taught us earlier. Use it. I've got it, and I'm giving it to you. Man, what a life we can live. What a joy. We're new creations. Say that. I'm a new creation. Go to Galatians chapter 6. It says in Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Nothing in the flesh makes any significant difference. You know, it's nice sometimes we get a haircut or we shave or, you know, we do some of those things, but really not the big difference, not a big deal, it says here. But, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, a new creation, and that avails everything. That's what makes the difference, the new creation. We have to accept it, pursue it, believe it, and walk in the light of it, that we're new people. We're not the same. God's Word translation says, what matters is being a new creation. The idiomatic translation says, but a new creation is what counts. The NET, the New English Translation, says the only thing that matters is our new creation. And then the New International Reader's Version says, what really counts is the creation of a new nature. We're different people. We're changed. Isn't that pretty wild? Well, isn't a wall falling down flat? Isn't parting the sea and all that stuff wild? Don't you see that's God's business. Making us, creating new people. New person. Holy Spirit transformed. I'm not body and soul anymore. Just body and soul. I'm body, soul, and spirit. Spirit. And that's the governing one. That's the ruling one. That's the one that gets me connected to my Heavenly Father and my Lord Jesus Christ, so that Christ lives in me, that I can walk in his steps, that I can do what he does. Romans 6, verse 4. Says, wherefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as, just like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should also walk in newness of life. How was he raised up from the dead? I am by the glory of the Father. There was a stone over the hole where he was laid, the tomb. It was rolled back. The angels were there to announce it. Even so, we should walk in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so shall we also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. That's what we are. We're dead. We died. Our old man died. We need to reckon him dead. For he that is dead is free from sin. 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We died with him, we were buried with him, we arose with him, and now we live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him, and we died with him, we were buried with him, we arose with him. Death has no dominion over us. I have eternal life. I have no fear of death. I have nothing to be afraid of anymore, because I'm a new creation who lives eternally because of what my Lord accomplished for me. Verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves. Likewise, here it is. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, that's the only way to do it that I know of. It's Christ to me, the hope of glory. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What a life we have to live. But we have to reckon. I think that word reckon is the word logizomai, which is the one for you accountants calculate. You have a bunch of, you have a column worth of figures. You get down to the bottom. There's only one correct answer if you're going to total it. And that's what we have to do. We got to come up with the right answer. The right answer is, I'm not the same person I used to be. I'm a new creation. I can walk in glory. I can walk with power. I can walk with my brothers and sisters, and we can change the world in which we live. In the first century, they turned it upside down because they needed to. I don't see any less of a need for us today. We have got to do something to change this place back. We can take back what's ours. Amen. We're God's kids. God will work for us. But it says, like as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we should walk in newness of life. He wasn't the same when he got up. Neither are we. Romans 7 says, but now, 7:6, Romans 7:6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Referring back to the law in the beginning of the verse. We're delivered from the law. We can serve in newness of spirit, not oldness of the letter. As much as when I write notes, I expect to follow them. You know, there's, it's a good thought, Wayne. And sometimes it works more than other times. But we have a spiritual connection with our Father. And that can be, that doesn't need to be weird or strange or unusual. We can learn how that works. That's really us. I'm a spiritual man. You're a spiritual man, a spiritual woman. God directs you spiritually with your spirit. He works within you that way. Man, what a life we have. Galatians 3:13 says we're redeemed from the curse of the law. We're delivered from the power of the law, which irritates and provokes the sin that dwells in our old man. It's the old man. He's dead. That Wayne that used to be is not anymore. He died. The new Wayne is who I get the privilege of learning about. You know, I just saw the Spider-Man movie, and you know, he got his power, and it was on practice mode or something, the outfit that he had on, and then they hacked into his outfit, and whoa, there's all these things you can turn on. So he turned it on, and he's, you know, this is going to kill somebody, it's a death ray now, and oh, I don't want to do that. But the point is that he didn't know about it. And he's learning about everything that he has. And so much of our life is like that. I don't know I can do that till I get... Here I am in a situation. I'm adamant that we can't call in angels. We can't do that. We don't have that right, that privilege. That takes revelation. We can do it if God tells us to do that. But, you know, we can't go out and do that. And here I'm in a ministering situation, and God says, call in an angel. God, that doesn't agree with my theology. Don't you know that that ain't right? You know, I didn't do any of that, but I did take note and went, oh, okay. So I did. I called an angel, and guess what? It showed up! It came! It did its job! Cool. I didn't know that was part of the program. Now I do. So much of where Tanya has taken, I didn't know was part of the program. If she'd asked me ahead of time, I'd say, we don't want to go there. I'm glad she had the wherewithal and the connection with God and the confidence to take us where we've gone. But we're kingdom equipped. And you know the word equipped's not in the King James Version. At least I couldn't find it. Maybe it wasn't used or in common usage back in 1611. But a lot of these new versions have it. We got 10 minutes. And it happens in some of my favorite verses, like 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. This is the New King James. Let's use the New King James. So this is sort of King Jimmy with an update. So if he'd have lived in our time, this is what James would have wrote. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're kingdom equipped. Amen. Talking about the word of God there, that's what equips us to do God's will. It's the word, because without knowing the word, we don't know God's will. And if you think God's going to lead you about with revelation all the time, you got another guest coming, because the purpose of the revelation is not to replace the word, it's to augment the word, to provide specifics to what the word declares, so that we know in this situation, how do I get the health? Well, you need to pray for this. You need to do this. Bend over. reach this, say this, do this. So then we do it, and then the health comes. Hebrews 13, here's one of my favorite benedictions. Hebrews 13, 21, this is in the New American Standard. You know, I usually go to the Greek and hit all these texts, so today it's just different versions. It's fun changing things up. But in Hebrews 13, 20, I said 21, I meant 20, it says, "Now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord," that's the one who was brought up from the dead, "equip you." So the God of peace equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. How? Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. See how it works? God works through Jesus Christ. They were not in cross purposes when he walked the earth, and they're not now. They work together. He does his Father's will. He said, "I always do my Father's will." He still has that on his name tag. "I do my Father's will." And we get the right to borrow it and put it on ours. We can do our Father's will. We can walk in the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4. Some of these, again, real familiar verses. These new translations. This is New American again, the NAS. Ephesians 4:11, "And he," refers back to Christ in verse 7, "he gave some apostles and some prophets," some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers, "for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ." But these ministers equip the saints by teaching the word, operating the manifestations, and using the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4:1, in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Do you have that one? The Holman Christian Standard Bible, HSC or HSB. Oh, well, doesn't matter. 1 Peter. Hey, he's got it. There it is. Hey, look at that. There's a miracle by itself. "Wherefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, equip yourself also with the same resolve, because the one who suffered in the flesh has finished with sin." That's what the sign says on the church. It says, "If you're done with sin, come on in." Somebody wrote on the bottom with lipstick, "And if you ain't, call." But we have to arm ourselves with the same mind. We have to think like he thought. We can do the works that he did if we will think the way he thought. "I always do my Father's will." If we think that, "I and the Father are one." If we think that, "God's given me all power in heaven and on earth." If we think that, maybe I can't get to the place that I can say all. But I can say, "He's given me the power to do this because he asked me to." And I would never ask my kids to do something they couldn't do. Why would he ask me to do something I couldn't do? They may not have believed me at first. But then I would cajole and we'd get them to do what we knew they could do. In 1 Thessalonians 3:10, in the International Standard Version, it says, "We pray very hard night and day that we may see you again face to face so that we may equip you with whatever is lacking in your faith. And really, we're not lacking anything in our faith, but sometimes we don't remember all the specifics. We're, like Peter says, we need to bring each other to remembrance. We need to remind each other what we have and what we can do. And if we need help, go alongside and help out. Moses needed help to win the battle. Elijah needed help to heal Naaman. Took his servant to, you know, get the logic to him, to get him to actually dip, to get the healing. And so much is us working together, praying together, supporting each other, walking together. Here we've got Messengers for Christ coming up, and, you know, we're too shy of 150 people to go messengers. And it's, I just get so humbled, so touched that here we are, we're going to pray for each other for 100 days. We're going to believe for each other. We're going to see God move. We're going to share our testimonies of deliverance. We're going to encourage one another, and we're going to see fantastic things. Just like all of you who aren't going messengers will see. But we'll just show it to each other. You'll have to broadcast it some other way. But you can do it. In my zone, I'm doing a zone newsletter. Trisha, I think, is the only one who's really caught on to it. Trisha Williams, she sends me stuff all the time. But there's a section for testimonies, you know. Sometimes I say, nothing this week. God hasn't done anything in our seven states this whole week. Sorry. Come on now, I say, come on now. God's done something here. Somebody share something. But we'll get better at it. Well, didn't even get through the first part. We got two other parts to get to. The other one was God is pursuing us.
Oh, yes.
You know, I can't tell you the change that happened in my life when I realized God was pursuing me. He was seeking me out. He followed me around. He trailed me. He put somebody on my trail. He had people come and talk to me at places where I shouldn't be. But he was hot after me. He pursues us. And, you know, I had a list of all these different ways. The one I want to mention is like last night with the music. You know, God, that just touched me so deeply. And in so many ways, music can reach into our hearts. But that's one of the ways where I see God pursuing me. You know, I love contemporary Christian music. I love the great standards of the faith, like Greatest Thy Faithfulness, and some of those that just sometimes just singing those sends chills up and down my spine. And then when people minister live, like we had the privilege last night of experiencing the Spirit of God moving and vibrating and changing. I remember the first concert I went to with my daughter. She won tickets to see the Backstreet Boys. And so, anyhow, she couldn't drive then, so I took her. And we were setting up there, and Marky Mark was the opening act. I don't know if any of you remember Marky Mark. He's now Mark Wahlberg. He works in the Planet of the Apes. And anyhow, they started playing the music, and Sarah feels it. I mean, she goes, Dad, that's going right through me. My heart, it's moving my heart. Is this safe? I said, yeah, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till they get going. But godly music done by godly ministers God pursues me all the song that we played the song earlier when I was in the warm-ups about Shake It Up. Shake It Up. I thought, I want to play that before I teach. Because we need to shake it up. We're new creatures. Yeah. I love the one about chains. You know, he's the chain breaker. He's the way maker. You know, all that stuff just does so much. But the greatest way that he moves me is here. And when he opens scriptures to us, that's how I learn to hear his voice. You know, God works, there's five spiritual senses. Some people see visions, other people hear things, other people smell things, and we can do all of them. For me, predominantly, it's hearing his voice. And the way I learn to distinguish his voice from all the other random thoughts that go through my head is by having this book open. And as I read it, he'll say, "Did you get that? You better read that again." And then I realize, hey, that's God talking. And then when I'm out in the grocery store and he says, "You see that lady? I recognize the voice because I've heard it and I've been trained by him in his word." And when this word comes off of the page, it really is a living word. When a situation we've had questions about or concerns about, and God opens a scripture, it's like he could have stood next to me and shouted. It can be that clear. And that this would, and that's my prayer for you all, is that that word will open up and come alive to you, and we can become more convinced every day of its truth. And it will open doors for us to let God move us and direct us to places we'd never dare to go, to do things we always thought were impossible. But we have a God who loves us and will protect us and take us through all those things. So you're God's best. Good to be with you. And maybe let's close with a benediction. I like that one in Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. "Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." God bless.
Christian Family Fellowship Ministry would like to thank you for listening to this recording of our Sunday service. If you would like to partner with us in your giving, you can go to www.cffm.org and use the Give tab, or you can use your cell phone and text to give at area code 937-502-2999. All donations to Christian Family Fellowship are tax deductible. If you'd like to receive free CDs of our weekly service, you can register on our webpage under the Contact Us tab. They are also available as a podcast on iTunes, or you can download them or listen to them on our webpage. Thank you for your generosity and support for the broad efforts of Christian Family Fellowship Ministry, as together we bring God's Word and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to our world.